It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. The good news is I still know where she is, you know, so that's a plus, but I'm not certain she feels the same way. Hi, Mirella, how are you?
Hi, Jill. Well, thank you. Yes, from Switzerland.
No.
as probably for many weeks to come as well. The thing is that there would be a few updates about the coronavirus in Europe, and maybe I'll come to that a little bit later if we have a few minutes left. But my attention was caught by another topic, a very light one, but somehow in many ways interesting. The fact that Meghan and her husband, still Prince Harry, have managed to be on the headlines even in times like today, where obviously royalties are not necessarily a priority, and a lot of other issues that are obviously important for the development of life on our planet are much more important. Certain journalists still decided that it was worth writing about them, who, by the way, by now apparently left Canada and are living in California. Because very soon there will be a trial about a topic that is very dear to them, and it's the fact that Meghan sued a paper in England for having published her private letter to her father. And when I say private letter, obviously I mean private in the sense that this is a letter between a daughter and her father. On top of it, what she says and is not to be doubt, really, is the fact that what was taken from the letter was also taken out of context, and therefore the paper was able to make it sound quite negative. The idea being, as always in England, to blame Meghan for everything and to put her in a very bad light. So why did I think that that was interesting? Because for one thing, this is a trial that I would consider almost private as well. For the second thing is that journalists tend to complain about the fact that sometimes, you know, they are not allowed to say what they say, write what they want, and print what they think is the right thing. And I think that in many, many cases that is absolutely true, and especially in certain countries. But in a case like this, I have to say that when the defense of the paper is to say that Meghan and Harry live out of their presence in the papers, and that this is anyway how the way they are going to finance their life, or another argument saying that the letter was so nicely written that one would assume that Meghan knew that the letter would be printed or read by journalists because she put so much effort in writing nicely. Those arguments are really, really, really very difficult to defend. And I truly don't know about the justice system in England, and it's not my place to put any judgment on it. But if a daughter, no matter which daughter and no matter which father, if a daughter cannot write a private letter to her father because papers considers that of a very high public interest, in which way that really is also difficult to understand. If a paper has only that as a reasoning, then I would certainly hope that justice will give reason to Harry and Meghan to be able to definitely protect their private life, no matter how much they work on a public level. Obviously, if they have charities, if they are trying to help, or if they will do, I don't know, movies, if they will, whatever they will have to do or will want to do for their life, it absolutely doesn't give the right to any paper in the world to put them under such bad light, which is something that I feel a lot of tabloids should definitely rethink. Why talking about this today? Again, as I said before, it's because in spite of what we are going through, they still managed to get really some headlines about these coming trials. And I thought that it was interesting to show the absurdity of certain action, especially considering the times, the challenging times we are going through. So in other words, wishing lots of luck to Harry and Meghan for them to be able to finally have a private life, which I think every individual is entitled to.
That is something that is actually not only compelling, but it's a reminder how, you know, how people, even if they know that the information is not entirely true, believe it anyway.
Yes.
And this is a problem. And this goes back years and years and years to the New York Post, actually. And it didn't have anything to do with royalty. It had to do with someone who was at a party and did something. And the way that the item was written was so, anyone who knew what had happened, you just knew that it was untrue. And so we all talked about that. And then a couple of minutes later, you know, went back to reading the paper and it's like, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? You know, there's no actual space in the brain between that knowledge that it's not correct and, you know, the fact that that you just go out and believe the next thing. And I think
Yes, you're absolutely right, Jill. It's this fascination for what many people call juicy gossips, which is a term that really makes, you know, very thoughtful. It's juicy gossips. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's true or not true. It's just juicy. And it brings some kind of a weird pleasure, what one calls the Schadenfreude. And it's just this very questionable pleasure of seeing people really talked about in a manner that either makes people laugh or attract attention, but in any ways, always in a negative light, always in the sense of damaging. And this is what I don't understand with those kind of papers, is why is there this incredible need to constantly damage and destroy people on topics also that are completely unimportant and uninteresting? Because to tell you the truth, Jill, I really don't understand why we would like to know what Meghan wrote to her father. I don't find that really of high interest for the public, as the paper says, nor do I find that interesting in any way. This is just not interesting.
No, this is a violation of privacy. But the thing is, or privacy, depending on where you're from. But the problem, it's the fundamental canon of the internet. However, you're just trying to get eyeballs. It's not about what you're just trying to get attention. Look, going back to headlines, and you know, this is one of the horrors of the current age, and I'm really hoping that this pandemic helps with that, because my nephew, who was raised, you know, really well, just in terms of educated, said to me the other day, "Well, I only read headlines." Well, that's not going to tell you anything. That's just meant to get your attention.
Yes, and that's how you click on an article.
That's exactly right.
And this is mostly what counts by now and what matters. And I really think that the press has an important role to play. All media actually have an important role to play in our societies, and that is, a pillar of our freedom for sure. But that is not a blank check. And I think that in certain cases, it would be really worthwhile to sit down and you know, ask yourself, okay, was my article worth anything?
Yeah, was my article worth somebody else's time?
And did I take pleasure in destroying someone's life just because I got some more clicks than my colleagues?
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostorfer, over there.
My pleasure.